verses 18 to 25. As we mentioned earlier, there's a number of passages in the Gospel of Matthew that speak towards the fulfillment that Christ's coming brings to God's promises and plans. This is the first one that of which we read, and we're going to meditate and focus on that for just a little bit this morning from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. You'll find this scripture on page 1026 in the Pew Bible. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. If you would, please join with me, and we'll ask that the Lord might again be of blessing to us by his word and as it's being ministered to us this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we could read a portion of your word and pray that it may be of blessing to us, having heard it, and also as we have it ministered to us. May your spirit be at work so that graciously we might be the beneficiaries of the blessings of your gospel again in this day. Or, Lord, if it has to be for the very first time for some who are here. Lord, we'd ask that you would change people's lives, that you would certainly work your will, and that your word, may we take great heart in this, that your word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish all that it sets out to do. May that be part of our comfort this day as we hear from your gospel. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are times in our lives when we find ourselves in the dark about what's happening around us. We could walk into a room during the holidays like we do, and we hear a lot of our friends and family laughing about something, and we realize for a moment there that we're in the dark. What's so funny? We need an explanation, and somebody may give that to us. We might walk into a room and we find a vase broken or something else in the room that has broken, and we find in there one of our boys or girls. Maybe the boys and girls have run into something like this before. Mom and dad walk into the room, okay, what actually happened here? Because we're in the dark. We really don't know. We see the broken vase, but we really don't know how it got that way. We're looking for an explanation. And sometimes we even run into situations where there's a problem that arises, and we've never faced anything like that before. And we wonder how it is that we're going to solve this problem. And we look for counsel. We look for advice. We look for direction so that we don't try to solve the problem incorrectly. Well, Jesus' legal father, Joseph, betrothed to Mary, finds himself in that kind of a predicament. In Matthew 13, verse 54, we would read, as people respond to the teaching and the miraculous acts of Jesus, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Well, yes and no. One of those who would have been able to answer this question was the carpenter himself. Joseph, certainly son of Jacob, as we look in the genealogy from Matthew 1, but also as the angel identifies him, Joseph, son of David. Because by God's grace and word, he was going to understand the sign of Emmanuel. He came to see that in keeping with God's promise, a virgin had conceived and would bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This morning we want to consider why Joseph was in need of understanding the sign of Emmanuel, and what the remedy was to fill that need, and what his response was once he received the remedy. And we pray that God will grant to us lessons of faith to learn as we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus in fulfillment of God's promises. Think about, first of all, the need to understand the sign of Emmanuel. That need to understand is understandable. We can understand why he would need something to help understand. Our passage says that Joseph was a righteous man, or he's a just man. He loved the Lord, and he loved his neighbor, and in this case, Mary, who he had in mind to divorce quietly so as not to expose her to public disgrace. According to law, she could have been stoned along with the person who made her pregnant. Not that that happened so much at that time in Joseph's time, but it was something that the law had stated. But he had in mind to divorce her quietly. We read that she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph couldn't understand that. From where he stood, something bad had happened. And he wanted to do the right thing to honor God and to make things easier for Mary, as the text states it. So he wishes to keep things as private as possible. A couple witnesses, a writ of divorce, and be done with it. The virgin conception promised in Isaiah had happened. But Joseph is in the dark about it. And that's understandable, because it's a unique situation. Ironically, Joseph perceives that something bad has happened, but actually, something good has happened to a proportion that has never been seen before. No wonder he didn't understand. This hasn't happened before. What has happened before is that people have been conceived and born in sin. What's happened before is that people have been born of men. What's happened before is that if one-time virgins would become pregnant, it was a sign of sinful humanity. But this is a sign of divine righteousness and grace. Only Joseph hasn't come to understand that yet. This was something completely different, wonderfully different, righteously different, divinely different, uniquely different. And it had to be different. Because the one who was conceived and born had to be different. Now, while the one who was born needed to be like us as well, it's his difference that makes the difference. It's why he's God with us. He is not conceived and born in sin. There is no sin here. And Joseph had to come to understand that, as do we all. He would be, as Pontius Pilate would say at the end of this gospel, one who has committed no crime. Or Pontius Pilate's wife, who, because of her own dream, would say, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man." He'd be treated like sinful man deserved, shamed, stripped, naked, with the thorns of curse on his head, the shepherd's staff in his hand, hailed with mockery as the King of the Jews. But his special conception and birth showed him to be a special person. The great mediator for his people, righteous, royal, redeeming, the Son of David, but also the Son of God, truly man, come to save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. No wonder that Joseph didn't understand. This was a special and unique time, a fulfilling time, a time like no other. Joseph was acting on the presumption of human sin. Until then, there was no other possibility. With man, this virgin conception and birth is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And what Joseph was reacting to what only sinful man could do. But what he needed to do was to react to what the righteous and the gracious God could do and did. He needed to understand that the conception and the birth and the person of Christ was special. Now, we live in a world where we share in a common problem. And it's not that we don't have enough friends or that we're insufficiently funded or that we don't get what we want or that we all need more liberty and that we all need more slack. It's not that we all have the ball bounce the wrong way for us too often, or that we didn't get the present that we wanted, or that we all have trouble getting everything that we want out of life. What we all have in common is our sin. And that apart from the Spirit of Christ, we all have a natural tendency to hate God and our neighbor. That's our common problem. What makes the celebrating of Christ's birth so special? It isn't the gifts we receive, or the food that we eat, or the family or friends that we get to see. Those aren't it. It's not the break that we get from school or from work. Those are not what make the celebrating of Christ's birth so special. What makes celebrating the birth of Christ so special is his birth. It's his conception. It is the uniqueness of the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. It's because Jesus Christ isn't common. He's truly special. He's holy. He's set apart. He's chosen of God. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. There's no one like him. And he's come to save his people from their sin as Jesus. And by God's grace, we come to see how special Jesus is. How uniquely qualified he is to save us from our common sin. So that we might know the uncommon, supernatural relationship and experience of having God with us for time and eternity. See, unless we believe in that special message of gospel truth, we will never understand the joy of God being with us for time and eternity. And any celebrating of Christmas by us is always going to be empty. There wasn't only a need to understand the sign of Emmanuel for Joseph, but there was also a remedy to understand the sign God graciously provided. The sign of Emmanuel was plain to see. It was right in front of him. But Joseph doesn't understand it. And the reason that he didn't understand it is that he needed that sign explained to him. Now, often you'll see signs on the road that'll have words right under it to be helpful. A red octagon with an arrow on a diamond-shaped sign. And right below it, it'll say, "Stop ahead." The words explain the sign. Joseph, by God's grace, receives an explanation of the sign that has come his way. That sign was not self-explanatory. The word of the Lord needs to explain it, and the angel of the Lord comes in this dream to provide that explanation. It's the way that the gracious Lord acts towards his people. Through faith, you and I can understand this in a host of ways. The Lord gives, for instance, the signs of baptism in the Lord's Supper, but he doesn't give them to us without also giving us his word to explain what those things are about and how to use them. Think about it in your own life. Because we also come to understand with faith and comfort that when the Lord places us in a situation, he doesn't do that. He never does that without giving unto us perspective to a sufficient extent from his word as to how we should respond to those situations. And if he didn't do that, we'd be left hopeless. We would truly be without God and without hope in the world. It'd be anti-Emmanuel. We'd be like sheep without a shepherd. Now, it doesn't mean that those situations aren't painful, that there isn't sorrow, but it is never to the point like it is with the world that has no hope. Because that's not how the good shepherd of the sheep deals with his people. He always leaves them with hope and a place to turn and a way out because he always provides us with his word. He doesn't leave his people forsaken or forgotten. That isn't the way of Emmanuel. He gives his word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this is what he does here also as he gives remedy to Joseph for his understanding. Joseph is given the word of the Lord. And if we understand that the angel also quotes from Isaiah to Joseph, he also provides reference to the Old Testament. And he gives to Joseph historical perspective. Joseph comes to see through the word that something special has occurred. This one conceived is a new kind of man, ushering in a new day of fulfillment to the house of David, to whom was made the promise of a kingdom that would last forever. Joseph's reminded here as to who he is. He's addressed as Joseph, son of David, not just of Jacob. The sign that was promised to Ahaz, his ancestor, in Isaiah 7, he is now coming to fulfillment. And it comes just as God had promised. It comes after God's wrath has been carried out against Israel in exile. Restoration of the kingdom of David is now coming, and it's coming even as God promised the rebellious Ahaz. Through the sign of the child conceived and born of the virgin. That's how it's coming. That's how restoration's coming. Exile and alienation from God were going to come to an end in the person of Emmanuel, God with us. The sign of that end and that sign of that new and lasting beginning was right in front of Joseph. Now, the first verses of Matthew speak to us of Jesus as the fulfillment of the covenant of grace to Abraham to bless the nations, and the fulfillment to David to reign over all. He is the son of Abraham and he's the son of David. That's how the gospel begins. In other words, they spoke of Christ as Savior and as Lord. Joseph not only had the sign of that truth revealed to him, now also the word is revealed to him to explain the sign. They're in harmony with each other. The word showed what the sign fulfilled, that God had come to restore, to establish his gracious and lasting kingdom, to save his people, to keep his promise, and to bless the nations by the saving rule of Emmanuel, God with us. The word gives to Joseph the perspective and the guidance that he needed to be able to respond as he should to the sign of Emmanuel. The word was his remedy. And the word, my friends, continues to be the remedy for us and for the world. The word reminds you, it reminds me, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. And it calls us to spread the word of the gospel to the nations as their saving remedy to understand the sign of Emmanuel. And it gives us guidance to do as we should, to do as we ought in all the situations that we find ourselves in as we observe all that he has commanded us. And it reminds us and assures us in it all that Christ, our Savior and our King, remains with us as Emmanuel. I'll be with you always. In our joys and sorrows, in our trials and triumphs, for time and for eternity. And that's to our gospel encouragement. There's one other thing we notice, and that's the response of Joseph's understanding. Instead of divorcing his betrothed, he does as he was commanded, and he takes Mary home to be his wife. He doesn't fear. Remember, the angel said that don't be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife. Don't be afraid. No, instead we hear that he does everything that the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He becomes the legal father of Jesus. He names him as he's commanded to do. He's told not to fear, but to take Mary home as his wife, and he does that. Now, what might he have feared? Well, he was a righteous man. Would not the taking home of Mary be a self-accusation? Wouldn't he be ridiculed? He'd be denying himself this way, and also by having no union with Mary until she gave birth to a son. What's that teach us? Well, he understood the sign of Emmanuel. By sign, by word, by grace, God's gospel promises have been proclaimed to him of the one who would save his people from their sin. And in faith, Joseph will not stand in the way of the promises and the will of God. He seeks not his kingdom, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we see that especially in verse 25, that he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. You see, the sign of Emmanuel wasn't just that a virgin would conceive, but that a virgin would give birth. Joseph had the right to union with his wife. But he's not worried about his rights. He's concerned about the gospel that he had heard from God, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. He's not worried about his honor, but about the gospel's. One person put it this way: Joseph realizes that some things are worth waiting for. Some things are more important than what we consider our rights and that to which we believe we're entitled. Some things are more important than our instant gratification. Joseph was seeking the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness. The gospel came first. The honor of God came first. The plans of God came first. The promises of God came first. And in that way, Joseph was like his legal son, who had the right to call down, as he says in Matthew 26, a legion of angels. But then listen to what he says in verse 54 of that chapter. He says at his arrest, "How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" How then should the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? You see, the virgin conception and birth had to happen this way. Just like Christ had to die the way that he did. It had to happen that way to show God to be true and worthy of our trust. It had to happen that way so that something special would happen. Something only God could do to save his people from their sins. As the mediator of his people, as Emmanuel, as God with us, Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Now, given how special the virgin conception and birth were, my friends, do you see how special Jesus Christ is today as your only Savior and everlasting King? Who's like that? There's no one like him. Does God's word help you to keep the sign of Emmanuel in perspective? And for that matter, everything else that occurs in your life as you serve the God who keeps his promises, is it God's word that helps you that way? Does that perspective help you to respond to the sign of Emmanuel in such a way that it's not about seeking your rights, but rather the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Such was the way of the Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Such is the Christ whose coming is worth celebrating for us, if by grace you and I have come to understand the sign of Emmanuel. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that long ago you brought perspective, you brought your word, you brought the sign of Emmanuel. And it was that which Joseph encountered. It is what Joseph heard about. It's what he saw with his eyes. Lord, you filled the need so that with your word, so that he could read the signs of the times as he ought. And so he could respond as he ought, seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. We think about in our own lives, dear Father, how important it is for us to see Jesus Christ as Joseph, by your grace and word and sign, was able to see. Truly a special person, Emmanuel, that everlasting King and the only Savior for our lives. We're thankful for the fact that even for us today, your word is a remedy so that we might be able to see clearly the sign of Emmanuel. And for that matter, it is your word that we may use to help us along in all the situations in which you've called us to observe everything that your Son has commanded us. We pray, Lord, that for the world, it too may find that word to be a remedy to their own lives as they see Christ as Savior and King. And help us, dear Father, as Joseph long ago is a type of the Christ who came not to serve, but not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. May we seek, first of all, your kingdom and your righteousness as the Christ who served us well. Hear us, Father, as we pray these things. Help us to understand the sign of Emmanuel, for Jesus' sake. Amen.